I'd like to call the meeting to order. I'd like to approve the minutes of the June 12th, 2018, meeting, June 12th, 2018, special joint meeting, 2019, regular meeting, and June 19th, special meetings. Make a motion?
Second.
Discussion? If not, roll call, in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We're going to take a few of these resolutions out of order. Resolution 280, authorized chairman of Ulster County Legislature to accept funding from New York State Education Department, State Archives Division for Development, a permanent archive exhibit amending 2018 budget, county clerk.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
We have our distinguished county clerk here, Nina Postopak, to my left. And she has great news that she's going to make an announcement. Nina?
Yes, so we have received $23,859 for our archival grant. And we're really excited. This is over, with this award here, we've received over $800,000 from the Department of Education. So they've been very supportive of us throughout the years in our records management and our archival program. And this gallery that we're going to do is going to be a permanent exhibit on the second floor of the county office building. And over the course of the past few years since we've started doing exhibits, we've done 64 of them. 40 in the town halls, the person house, and all over the county, the libraries, and then the rest we've done here in the county office building. So we're excited about the permanent exhibit because it's going to showcase our archival collections, and thousands of people come through the county clerk's office a year, so it'll really make them aware of what our archives is about and some of our treasured collections, like our wampum belt will be digitally reproduced, and the treaty, the original Governor Nichols treaty. So we're very excited about this grant. So that will be happening. We received $11,988, and if you approve it at the meeting next week, we can accept that money and we can get started on the grant project.
That's great.
I want to thank Nina and her staff for doing their due diligence to make this thing become a reality. So, Nina, thank you on behalf of the legislative body.
Thank you.
Any questions for Nina? Mm-hmm. All right, all we need is about another $1.2 million, and we'll be all right from you. We can get grants somewhere else. So,
I'll keep working on it for you. I'll keep working on that.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you, Nina.
All right, thank
you so much.
You're
more welcome to stay, but I know you want to leave.
I would love to stay, but thank you. Have a good night.
Bye-bye, yeah. Next, we're going to take Resolution 307. It's amending Capital Project 459. It's regarding the construction of the trail up there, and then we're going to take 301 and 302. So move 307 first.
So moved.
Second. Discussion. Chris, you want to just give a very brief update of why it's before it's as late as it is?
Why it's as...
No, what do you mean?
The late is 321.
Okay, this I'm sorry. All right. Time. All right, so...
It's late, though. I would have liked to have done it 2 years ago.
All right, but...
I have a budget breakdown just so you can see where we are in the project. We gave these out at Ways and Meet at Economic Development. We're adding to the project $8.25 million for the phase two construction and for the construction inspection related to that phase two. We're finishing phase one, which you authorized last November, and that's finishing up on Friday. We are also putting on the books all of the grants that we've accumulated over the past 3 years, which comes to $6.63 million in grants. So you see the project cost right now is just below $10 million. The revenues that we have from outside sources are $6.63. The county share is $3.37 million, which is about a third.
All right, and everybody have a copy of this, correct? That shows all this?
Can I ask this question?
Yes.
So, how do these numbers, how do they compare to what we originally anticipated?
They're higher than what we originally anticipated because there are elements in it that weren't in the project originally. For instance, we're right on a terminal reservoir for DEP. So we had a lot of wetland issues that we had to do. We had to do a lot of reworking. So in one area where the culverts weren't cleaned for 40 years, we actually had to take a 700 to 800 foot length of the railroad, and we have to do a detour around it. In another case, there's a wetland that, because the culverts weren't cleaned for many decades, that the wetland grew up on both sides of the track and the track and there literally is nowhere to go around it. That required a boardwalk system that is $800,000 to $900,000.
What's the linear?
It's 520 feet.
Wow.
So it's honestly more than it was. All throughout the process, we've tried to value engineer this.
Yeah.
DEP originally wanted 4,000 linear feet of fence. We got them down to 400 feet of fence by walking through. You know, this is when all the bushes were there and the ticks. And so we've really worked at every step of the way. As they've added things, we've also tried to get things down and more reasonable. The Butternut Culvert is also a major factor in the escalation. We originally looked at that as a $500,000 or $600,000 project. That came in at $1.6 million, and we think that's due to the remoteness of the site.
Yeah.
Along the 12 miles, you have 6 entrance points from Route 28, and that doesn't leave you a lot of room for error, because you have to get on the corridor, drive down this narrow one-lane road, essentially, and in many spots there's nowhere even to turn around. Again, I think the good news is we also did go out and get more grant funding since the original budget. So we're leveraging $2 for every local dollar. And as I manage it, as you know I did with the Hudson Valley, I'll try to, wherever I can, cut costs and find additional money.
Have we started work on the Butternut Culvert yet?
No, that Butternut Culvert is part of the phase two that you would be approving. And what we're doing is removing a major failed 75-foot culvert that failed in the late 1980s. We're actually going to take it out and daylight that stream and install a new 75-foot-long bridge.
Oh.
So it's expensive, but it's going to be beautiful, and it's going to be a model of environmental sustainability. We're literally putting this creek bed back to its original state for the first time in more than a century.
Wow.
So that and the wetland stuff are going to make this one of the greenest trails ever built in New York State. And the fact that the trail itself is pervious.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And we wouldn't have gotten any approvals if we didn't do that. So that sounds great, but the EP wouldn't have gone for it.
Okay.
Any other questions? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I
am a no on this. Just let the record reflect that it's only because of the constituent base and the contact that I've gotten. They seem to think that there's going to be further litigation. I'm not opposed to trails by any means, but we're also looking to protect the tracks.
Mr. Chairman, and just for those that don't know, we did win the litigation yesterday in state Supreme Court. That motion was dismissed, and 2 weeks earlier, we won the federal case at the STB.
Yeah. Well, there again, I mean, we got to worry about litigation and everything we do. We'll do nothing. I understood. Laura, noted. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, Resolution 301, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of 50, entered by the county, Borton and LaJudas, Department of Planning. Second.
Second.
Questions? Not. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I'm a no for the same reasons.
Same name. All right, Resolution 302, approving the execution of a contract in excess of 50, entered by the county, Cerverdone, Department of Planning. Second.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I'm a no for the same reasons.
Yes?
I have some very good news that you should all hear.
Well, speak a little louder so we can hear.
Tyler.
The governor just signed our drug take back.
Excellent.
All right.
It's real. That means starting in January, less opioids on the streets and kids are going to hear.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah,
that's
very
great.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right. Did we vote on 302?
No. I think, yeah.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We did, didn't we?
Yeah,
yeah.
We did.
No. All right. You said no.
I said no.
All right. We're going to have one confirmation to Resolution 319. I'm sorry for jumping around. Confirming the appointment of Edward Jordan as Director of Purchasing.
Which one are we?
319 is next to the last one.
Yeah, wait a moment for
okay.
us to get there.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, even with, it's harder with the computer.
It's harder with this, yeah.
Get
yeah,
this, paper.
Yeah, no, I'm sticking to this. You're just going to have to wait.
319.
You're wait for Lynn.
So moved.
All right, a second?
I'll second.
Just for discussion?
I'm waiting for Lynn.
Is he here?
He's here.
I can't get it.
He's gonna, Mark, you gonna introduce Mr. Jordan?
Sure. So this is Ed Jordan. He has been deputy of purchase, director of purchasing for the last 7 years with the department for 9, for which he was my deputy for the last 4. Is very skilled and professional in all aspects of purchasing. I know some of your staff have worked with him and is a phenomenal choice.
Well, we welcome you to the big time job now. Before you had the assistant, but there again, good luck, and hopefully, if we have any questions, we'll contact you.
Great, thanks, Frank.
Mm-hmm. Any questions, Mr. Jordan? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All righty, thank you.
Thank you.
20 as well, because that's here.
320. All right.
Sorry, so you're already there at 319. So.
Adopting the update of procurement manual pursuant to General Municipal Law 104B, Department of Purchasing. Moved.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
I'll
for discussion.
Second.
I have a question.
Tracy.
So is the language that we're adding, is it standardized language from the state? Or?
Yeah, the guidance we had was from other purchasing directors in the state who are very involved in the process and who taught webinars, several webinars on uniform guidance. So
okay.
This is information we received from County of Albany, County of Rockland.
Okay.
You may have heard me bring up Paul Brennan in the past.
Yep.
He was the president of the National Institute of Government Purchasing in our state. A lot of this language came right out of Rockland County. So he's the director of purchasing there.
Okay. And then I had another question, which isn't a change, but just because it was in front of us, I was looking at it. And section, I guess it was 10, which talked about excess equipment that's not real property. Said that we could
surplus.
Put it up for surplus. Yeah, said we could put it up for auction on eBay. Does that include vehicles? Is that how we get rid of
we
vehicles?
Don't do it on eBay. I think eBay was an example of one of the type of places we use Auctions International.
Like an auction house.
They're an auction house. They put it on online. It is online.
Okay.
But that's what they do. And we've had a lot of success since we switched to Auctions International, and we don't pay for it.
Right. They take a percentage.
They take a small percentage of the sale.
Last a couple of weeks, I think.
I think we make a lot more money than we had in the past before we did Auctions.
Yeah, and that's what got me concerned when I saw eBay as listed. I thought,
yeah,
wow, this is really not.
It's an example.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just basically saying we can do it, we can do an auction electronically,
yes.
And it allows us to use any vendor for that. Okay.
Correct.
And is that how we get rid of all surplus that's not real property?
Yes.
Okay.
If it's auctioned.
If it has value,
right.
Well, versus throwing it out, is that what you're saying?
Scrap.
Yeah, there's electronic waste or there's other scrap, you know.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Any other questions? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, back to our regular. Anybody else want to add any other ones before we move along? If not, the resolution 197. Joe, you hold this over till next month.
We're going to go the local law route.
Okay,
rather than
so
the policy.
You are pulling this resolution, correct?
Yes.
All right. So now we're back where?
197 being pulled.
Right up top.
First one. Okay.
Jesus.
All right. 282, I was asked by Legislator Donaldson to hold this off to the end of the meeting. All right.
Okay.
290, approving the execution of a contract of F over 50 entered by the county, Drexler and Malicki. This is our auditors regarding this. We had meetings. They were chosen from a group of different consultants. They are our auditors. Consultants right now, and they're going to continue to be.
I'll move it for discussion.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Discussion?
I just want to say, based on, I think it happened in, maybe it was in the audit committee that we had the more detailed discussion rather than here, but I just want to make sure that we carve out a time to have that early meeting with the committee so that we can work on the flow of communication.
You that understand that committee, the audit committee, so the audit chairman is responsible for that, that the Ways and Means chairman.
Okay. I know, but I'm saying it on the record.
Okay.
I just want to make sure.
Want what it means to do, but I don't want to overstep the audit committee boundaries.
It's the audit committee, but I think that regardless of what committee we're talking about, we need to, same thing's going to be the case with our budget analyst. Mm-hmm. I think we need to start really defining at the outset the flow of information and communication, and it would serve us all legislators, if we did that early. And I know I'm talking to Amber as well, because I know that Amber, was an integral part of the discussion and facilitated the conversation. So we'll go through the audit committee, but I want to, on the record as I'm approving them, mm-hmm. that I want to make sure that that happens.
All right.
Thank you.
Through the audit committee.
Yes, but right. It says I have to vote on it here.
I got you. All right. Any other discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Not today.
Yes.
Okay. All right, next, 291. Approving the execution of a contract that's been by the county, L.W. Treesmith, or Service, Department of Public Works.
Second.
I
have a question.
Tracy?
Do we know this? So this is for the dead and dying ash trees, which are substantial in the county. We know. Do we know an estimate of how far along in the process this puts us with this removal? I mean, it's a substantial amount of trees, but
right.
What
so there
percentage
was select ones that we got rid of already.
Mm-hmm.
And those are done. That contract's been exhausted.
Right.
We then did this bid because four more ash trees when needed, but also there's hazardous trees that come down that are in the right of way, and so we decided we never had a bid that was ongoing besides mm-hmm. the ash tree, so we just did a bid again for the ash trees, but also any other hazardous trees.
Yeah, and this one has a per tree price and an estimate of how many trees,
the width and all that, but we don't have a set number. We did last time.
But here, my question is, has anyone done an assessment of how far-reaching this problem is in terms of how far into the removal we are? Because we're expecting eventually that every ash tree is going to be gone.
Off of county property, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
has there been a tree inventory?
That's what I'm asking is, like, in terms of in the rights of way and on our property, do we know the extent of this problem?
That answer for you.
And how far into the resolution we are?
The coordinator of the environment.
Department of Environment has started that work.
Yeah, that would be great.
The problem is that it changes every year.
Right? I know.
Yeah, right. That's the problem. And we know where most of the infestations are, where the concentrations are, but the infestations keep growing. But we are marking trees. They are marking trees.
Right.
I definitely support this, but I think this didn't go to the Department of Environment. It only went to Public Works, and I think that maybe we can ask Amanda to come to Department of, she's always responsive, but for an update, because I mean this is something we want to, I'm glad mm-hmm. that she's keeping her eye on, but we want to keep looking at it. It's not stopping. I'm curious where we are in that bell curve of mitigation is basically what I'm asking.
Mention to her that she should reach out about
Thank
an
you.
Update for that committee.
Okay, great.
And then, but again, this is the hazardous tree portion.
Got it.
Mainly.
Yeah, no, and I'm totally supportive. I'm just wondering.
James?
Mark, just a question. What are they doing with the trees?
Grinding them up.
Grinding them?
Most of the places, yeah. With the ash trees, they have to
grind them to a specification. It's a very small grind.
There's state law on how we have to get rid of them. We can't take them out of the area. But they are the contractor's trees at that point.
And then what's done?
They can grind them and leave them in.
Just leave it there.
Yeah, I mean, once it's ground, it's deemed, once it's ground to specifications, it's deemed no longer hazardous because you ground up the invasive species. But there's really strict standards. And because it's...
Do we do any kind of follow-up to ensure that it's being disposed of properly?
I believe Public Works. That's them. Again, that can, when Amanda goes to update...
Yeah, there are strict regulations. I'm sure it's fine. It's just a question of how... But, the problem, we're dealing with the right-of-ways, but this is all... I mean, it's all over the place.
Constantly taking care of it.
Joe?
Are they only removing marked trees? Every tree they moved, remarked, and they're reporting back to us, L31.
Yes.
Yes.
If I could just add for clarity's sake, the Department of Environmental Conservation has actually just removed the regulations prohibiting the movement of ash mm-hmm. because we've lost the battle. But there's still prohibitions on moving firewood that come from the general regulations that cover movement of firewood. So if you hear that the regulations have been removed, that's true, but there's still regulations that govern it. It's just no longer a special emergency to deal with this particular invasive species because the species
lost.
Is still moving.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah.
True.
Are there any other questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 292, approving a contract, excess of 50, complete building solutions, Department of Public Works.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion.
I have a question.
Yes.
I didn't see in there how the square footage of probation. Does someone know?
Off the top, I wouldn't.
Did someone just get back to me with that? And just because I've asked this before, maybe not on this subject, but have we done an analysis recently of what it would cost to do this in house versus hire it out?
We haven't.
Okay.
Not recently.
So maybe we should think about that. I mean, I'm okay with approving it now. We got to keep the buildings clean. But I'm curious about, I mean, when I read that, if I read it correctly, that probation's going to be clean 5 nights a week, right? So at 11:50 a week. Is that what it is? So, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, so I just want to have a sense that it's the smartest. Yep. Financial move, and maybe if we could consider some kind of analysis. Maybe that's something for the comptroller's office to do. I'm not sure, but you know, these things creep up as we add more and more buildings. So,
I will have Public Works look at.
Thank you.
Doing an analysis.
Okay, and you'll get back to me on the square footage of the
yes.
probation. Thanks.
Any other questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I had one more question on that.
That one.
There was one outlier in that in the Schedule A that said. What DSS vehicle cleaning at 150 per vehicle? What's the deal with that? Could you get back to me on that? My notes, because I was like, yes, because it says DSS vehicle cleaning 150 per vehicle. $150 per vehicle sounded really high. I mean, I don't know what kind of cleaning they're doing and what that means. Is it exterior, interior?
I mean, that's much more than
is that just car one car? One
yeah,
car.
Super.
I'll get the detail on
that's per car. It said per vehicle. No, it did not say $1.50. It said $150.
Right, we may not have used it.
I'm okay to let this go, but I do want that issue answered and may want
to. All right.
I want clarity on that question. Thank you.
All right. All in favor on 292?
Aye.
I think we did. All right. 293 to 297, can we bundle those? They're all regarding Department of Social Services regarding...
I have questions.
Yeah, I have a question, but I'm okay with 293 to 295 are the same, right? Well, they're not the same.
If they're transportation,
the first two are transportation.
I have no problem bundling those.
So 293 and 294.
Yeah, I have
different
questions on this.
All right, well, let's just go each one because
sorry.
It's time we do
okay.
that.
Yeah.
All right, 293, approving a contract, excess of 50, Arthur F. Mulligan, Department of Social Services. Moved.
So moved.
Second. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
I had a question.
Aye.
I just want to know, are these are numbers that are dictated by the state? Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
294. Execution of a contract at the Buddy County Rolling V Bus Service, Department of Social Services. Moved.
So moved.
Second.
I'll second it.
Discussion. Roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
295, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 Buddy County Unlimited Care, Inc., Department of Social Services. Moved.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
I have a question.
Tracy?
So what, it says that nursing services, we exceeded what was expected, which is, that's fine. But what exactly are the services and where do they live? Where are the nursing services?
They sit on the bus from the pickup through the whole school day and then on the way home.
So they go on the bus and then they sit at
the
preschool
and then
they
return on the bus too.
Oh, okay. And is it just as it's required based on a student
right now,
need?
These are two kids right now. Is what we know.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Glad I asked. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? If not, roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
296, approving contract in excess of $50,000, Enter Buddy County, Round Out Legal Services, Department of Social Services. Move.
Approve.
Second.
Question.
Yes?
You can go first, because I'm...
I just want to know how many, these are for process servers, how many, do we know how many are served?
To be honest with you, I don't know the numbers.
And what's the cost per serving? I mean, is there, does it vary depending on how far they go? Is it attached to distance?
It's a bid, or it's an RFP. It's an RFP.
I can get those answers.
We can get the answers.
Yeah, please.
I had the same questions. Can we hold this until we get the answers? I just would like to see a breakdown of what the cost, and in addition to a breakdown of what the cost is per, I'd love to see what our costs were last year, what our actual costs were, and based on a breakdown of how many people were served, et cetera.
Yeah, we can get you all that. I just want to also mention that we have tried to go out in the past, like, well, we did go out to RFP on this one, but in the past, other firms have been selected. We only get typically, you know, two, or maybe sometimes three other proposals. We went with another firm, and they weren't serving process, and so we were having legal issues at that time. Canceled the contract, went back with Rondout Legal Services, and then went out to RFP.
Do we ever, the Sheriff's Department can serve process, correct?
They can, I believe.
I mean, I believe they legally can. Have we ever utilized our own Sheriff's Department to serve process?
What's, you guys are here.
Not as a full-time, I mean...
Could be more costly to pay a sheriff to go and do something.
Well, we don't even know the numbers, that's why it would be helpful.
We'll come back next week with the numbers.
I'm curious, really.
Yeah, I'll say this, we, in, you know, private practice, we never use the sheriff unless we're required to by statute, because a private process server is going to get it done in a timely fashion. The sheriff has other priorities.
It's going to sit in their patrol car, and if they happen to drive by it, they're going to serve it. And if they get a call, they're not going to...
All right, you want to hold 296?
I do, I just wanted, like, to see that info.
All right, someone make a motion to hold to next week?
I'll make that motion.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
297, executive contract, family of Woodstock. Move.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion?
Yes. Number served, I'm looking at schedule, hold on. Sorry, it's going to take a little longer. We've got percentages in here. All the other ones for all of the other that we're looking at gave, you know, projected number, so it'd be helpful to understand the scope of this, because a percentage tells me nothing.
Okay.
Okay?
We can meet that for next week. Number served for the contract.
And there's a reporting function. Does that report go to the standing committee when it's delivered?
Wouldn't know.
Can we just check on that? Thank you.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, what was the question?
I'm sorry?
Can you say that again?
In the schedule, it just shows percentages, so we don't know how many people are served by this particular contract. And there's also a report that is submitted by the service provider to the health commissioner, and I was just wondering if the standing committee has ever seen the report.
I don't think everything, anything's ever crossed.
Yeah, so it may be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Reach out to...
All right, you'll get it.
I get the answer.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, Bert.
All right, all in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody against? Nope. 298, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000, Enter Buddy County, Family of Woodstock Youth Bureau. Move.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
299, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000, Enter Buddy County, Family of Woodstock Youth Bureau. Move.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion?
And if I could, again, I think there's a schedule in here that shows how many people. Is this projected? Because you also have a gender breakdown, a racial breakdown. Is this based on prior?
Yes.
Yeah, it's projected, and you know, this is through the youth program in terms of their contract. So,
Do we know happens? What happens if they're projecting 20 or they're projecting 120, and they don't serve that? So, does money come back? What happens?
These are not to exceed contracts. So
not
the
to
highest,
exceed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
regardless
so
of
to
whether
exceed that, and it goes by the
schedule
B payment.
In terms of in what's in the contract, the max they could serve.
Okay, so do we know what's served from a year-to-year basis? Okay. Thank you.
The only thing is what's budgeted, so you can't exceed what's budgeted.
I understand that, but do we use it all? And or do we end up with overage, and do we have a sense of what that looks like every year?
Yeah, and how many people does it serve? Because otherwise the number is just it's a number. It could be one person, it could be 100.
Any other questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 300, approving the execution of a contract amendment, closing error amendment to be in excess of $50,000 to Brady County, Tyler Technologies Information Services. Second?
Second.
Questions? Roll call, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
303, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 to Brady County, National Business Equipment LLC Information Services. Moved. Discussion? Any discussion? Yes.
Yeah. How many copiers is this? I mean, there's a whole list of the.
Do you know the exact number? It's every multifunction device in the county, and then there's some standalone printers. We can get you the number.
That would be great. Thank you.
This is the first of two options. same rates as last.
And what's the buyback portion of it? There's something in there that talked about buyback numbers.
A lease to own?
Buyout repayment. What is that?
What's that?
The buyback.
No, it's not lease to own, but I don't know. I'll have to take a look at that. They bought the old ones.
I think that's what
they bought out our other leases.
But it's a cost we have to pay to them. So
because that was part of the RFP, so
that
number
out our
came
leases?
In. They said we'll give you this buyout, but they wanted it back. So they're not just going to buy out those leases. It was all part of the contract, correct?
That's correct.
And how often do they service? Do we have a sense of? I know whenever we call, but I mean, it's just such a giant number. That's why I'll feel better once I know how many.
I mean, and understand it's toner. It's basically everything except for paper.
I know, but it's $1 million in copiers.
Right.
$1.4 million.
What am I going to save now with these iPads here?
It's a lot. I mean, really, seriously, it's a lot of money.
I don't disagree. I mean, and in the past, what happened is we would have about.
We had a study done where it was estimated before we did the RFP for this award,
let me just keep
spending approximately $40,000 a month on copiers. So now it's about 30. Still a lot.
How are we? But.
It did not include.
No, because I remember we used to buy our own toner.
But when you're saying $30,000 a month, I mean, I'm looking at this. It's broken into different. You know, there's $30,000 for this one, $30,000 for that one, $30,500 for that one, $31,000. I mean, the total. It's $1.4 million.
I believe the
for 1 year. So I don't $30,000 a month doesn't work out to $1.4 million.
No, it was a three-year contract. Are you looking at the amendment?
I'm looking at the monthly. I'm looking at the monthly.
The amendment is $381,000 for the year. You're looking at the contract.
We're adding to it.
Mm-hmm. We're extending 1 year onto that contract,
which is $380,000 for the year.
All right.
If you total at the end, it's 900 and change.
Well, there's 30,000 a month times 12 is 360.
Yeah, it's 385 for the year.
Okay.
$1 is cumulative.
Yeah.
All right, any other questions? If not, roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 304, amending Ulster County budget to accept funding from New York State Children's Alliance to support Family and Children Advocacy Center.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
305, authorizing the chairman to execute a contract with New York State Department of Health to continue the FACO enforcement program, Department of Health. Moved.
So moved.
Second.
I have a question.
Tracy?
So this money is for compliance checks. Are we required to spend this money on compliance checks only? Have we considered spending it on education and outreach of any sort, or...
I think it's compliant. We can go back to it.
Okay.
It is for the under 18.
The 18, right? Under 18, right. Portion. It's this is 18. Not the under 21. So
right.
It's really the state mandate.
Will we be... Can we just confirm whether or not we're strictly limited to what
compliance.
we spend the money on? And actually, that brings up the question about whether or not we could use the money for compliance for under 21, since that's now our law. I mean, in the same check. Or do we have to be looking at 18 only?
Right now, it's under 18 compliant.
Okay, but can we check since we've raised the age? And okay, thank you.
All right, any other questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
309, authorize the chairman to amend lease agreement with Ulster Savings Bank for the Public Defender's Office. Department of Public Works, those to the ground, move. Second. Questions? Roll call, in favor say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 310, amending capital project 488. Intended to serve as lead agency under SECRE, Department of Public Works.
Yes,
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Tracy?
I just want to thank the executives department for focusing on this shoulder. It's critically important. It's very dangerous. There have been some very notable accidents, and I know this is going to be a long process. This went through environment. But I think it's really important that we're starting to look at and actually make changes on so many of these county roads. We've all seen the negative side, and so it's I'm grateful. Thank you.
Anything else? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody against? No. 312. Authorize the acquisition of temporary easement over rail property for purpose of replacing the Bailey Bridge on Denning Road over East Branch. Eversink River. Department of Public Works, move.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
313, approving Ulster County budget, extreme winter recovery funding appropriation. Department of Public Works, move.
Moved.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
314, amending Ulster County budget, CHIPS funding adjustment. Department of Public Works, moved.
Moved.
Second.
Second.
Questions? Roll call.
Yeah, was there any, it was residual funds, right? Rollover funds?
It's just from 1 year to the next.
Yeah, there was.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
315, approving the work order for the Dormitory Authority at New York State for design and procurement services related to capital project 52827, I'm sorry. Classroom renovations, SUNY Ulster. Moved.
I'll move it.
Second.
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 Discussion. Roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
316, authorize the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to execute a payment in lieu of taxes agreement with Bluestone Solar LLC for solar energy systems pursuant to real property tax law section 287. Move.
487.
Mm-hmm. I'll move it for discussion, Mr. Chairman.
Good thing you're on the ball, yes.
I'll move it for discussion, okay. But I'll probably have to abstain on this because I am the assessor that the 487 form was filed with.
Okay.
Okay, I'm the assessor part-time in the town of Kingston where this is located.
All right. Zach,
there's a picture of what they had to do to get to put that there.
Acres yeah.
What does that mean?
They clear-cut 27 acres.
Yeah. Jim, that's you can't move
it here. Yeah. Can't move if you're abstaining?
Yeah.
Move. Second. A second, please.
Oh, I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. One abstain? You abstain, James?
Well, as I said, I'm the assessor that got the paper. I had nothing to do with the negotiation of the pilot for the county. I did negotiate the pilot for the town. And as everyone, if you understand 487, after an interconnection agreement is made,
I think you shouldn't be talking about it. Yeah. Honestly, I think if you're abstaining, you should just abstain.
No, I just want to let everybody know how it works. Okay.
Well, yeah, but I
we'll
think
do it
I think
offline. I abstain.
I don't know.
That's unanimous.
If you're abstaining, you shouldn't abstain.
All right, 317. Authorize the Commissioner of Finance to accept bids for parcel of county-owned property private sale. Moved by who? 317. Second.
I'm abstaining.
He's abstaining.
A second, please.
Second.
Come on. A second?
Second.
I have a question on
this
one.
Go on.
So, I was looking at the detail of these different properties, and And obviously a couple jump out at me. You know, there's the couple that sold two properties that sold for $50, yep. Mm-hmm. Which, okay, on
which
those two.
Sell at auction.
Right? Okay, and those two, I have a little bit, I can kind of maybe come around to understanding based on the size and the back taxes. But mm-hmm. this one that was, what was it, $33,000 owed and it's selling for $1,000? Can you give me the story on that?
I can research this, but I'm going to go on a limb and say this has been on the auction probably for 4 or 5 years. So
I definitely,
it's back on the tax roll.
And that's good, but I want to feel a little more comfortable with that.
In terms of what the problem was with us selling it, could be landlocked.
Yeah.
Could be a whole host of issues.
Yeah, it just seems like, I mean, such.
I pulled off on it, though.
Yes, yeah. That one I really would like to. Can we wait till next week on these and just get answers on that?
Is it that one, or do you want $50?
You can give me the $50 too, but that one's the most egregious. Just based on what it appears to be the annual taxes.
That's not the annual taxes.
No, but that's. I know, they go back 6 years.
It could go back 6 years.
It does. It goes back for 2011, so. But still.
Just so you know, each year, the carryover. Mm-hmm. It's 17%.
Right. 17%. That interest is in there, too.
Compounding every year.
I just want to have a better sense of what that property is.
I can
tell
you why we couldn't sell it. I'm sure, you know, like I said.
Yeah, check it out and let me know.
The Hudson line could be running through it. Who knows?
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, by rights, there was a piece of property that was, I think it went on for $780,000, but because it is where it is, and I think they've renegotiated with the owner, that's in your district, too. But
$780,000,
which you can get. It was the IBM property, the old IBM property.
A couple of the Tech City buildings.
Oh, yeah. The Tech City, yeah.
They're unpaid.
Yeah. All right. We'll pass resolution 317 and we'll leave out Robert Carlino.
Why wouldn't we just hold it? Because then we'd have to.
Okay, you can hold it. All right.
Pull it. We'd have to reconsider.
We're going to hold 317. All right, resolution 318, authorizing the conveyance county on private to the original owner of the Department of Finance. Second.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, roll call. In favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, new business. Memorandum dated June 8th from Elliot Auerbach, controller, to Michael Hine, county exec, regarding color paper invoice for Speaks, Ulster Speaks rack card related to resolution 24 of 218, establishing policy prohibit the use of public funds to place the likeness and name of elected officials on public service announcements, non-commercial and non-political advertising by Ulster County. We had Amber contact both the controller's office and county exec office regarding this. Neither one had a response to, other than the county controller's office brought it to the attention of the committee here, or to the chairman of the legislative body, who in turn brought it to the Ways and Means. There was no correspondence between the county exec and the Elliot Auerbach, who is a controller. There is an opinion from the Michael Hines attorney Mark here that everyone had a copy of
county,
that.
That's our county attorney.
Right. That's our
it's not
the county
Mike Hines
exec.
Attorney. It's his appointee, but he's a county attorney.
Yes. Okay. All right. Question becomes, do we pay the bill? We don't pay the bill. So they brought it before our committee. I'm not really sure. I would ask counsel, our counsel, to my right, either Chris or Nick, either one, to add some, to interject some.
Rich, if I could for a second.
Hold on 1 second. See exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I can say we did this. You know, this came to my attention for the first time with the memo that the county attorney prepared. So, frankly, just getting back into town, I haven't really dug into it. But we did discuss it in council meeting about an hour ago, and I think we had a kind of a productive discussion on it. I mean, from our perspective, it's a presumptively valid policy. It hasn't been challenged in court, and it is the county's policy at this time. So until such time as it is challenged in court, I think it needs to be followed as implemented. Mm-hmm. Having said that, if there are specific tweaks that could be made to the existing policy, I know that there is a measure in front of us this month that might give us the opportunity to do that dealing with signage. Then at the pleasure of the legislature, working with the county attorney, I think that's an opportunity to make some changes to do that. That's the extent of the conversations that we've had so far.
What are you talking about, the signage thing?
There's a resolution.
Oh, it's in.
So resolution 24 was the subject of the county attorney's memo. Mm-hmm. That was enacted in February this year. Initially, the subject matter of that resolution was targeted towards signage, and there was an amendment made or some change made in the committee process that resulted in the policy focusing only on public service announcements, non-political, non-commercial speech, or advertisements, I should say. And signage was taken out. So now there's another resolution that's currently, I believe it's this month pending before it's been submitted for this month to deal with the signage issue. So it's the same exact subject matter as far as elected officials, likenesses, et cetera, appearing on, in this case, signage. But my point in my discussions with the county attorney was that it might provide us the opportunity to clarify any ambiguities or shortcomings that were perceived to exist
Can I ask for clarification on the beginning of your statement, which seemed to be that you were maintaining that the existing policy is unambiguous and should be followed as written, but that we should clarify more? I'm confused because I feel like you're saying we should follow the existing policy and that we have legal grounds to follow the existing policy since it hasn't been challenged, but then you're also saying on the flip side we should amend the policy to provide clarification.
I think we should, isn't it?
I'm saying the opportunity exists to do it if that's the will of the body. I mean, I'm saying what the policy we have now is presumptively valid. It was passed by a supermajority of the legislature. It was not vetoed, and so it went into effect after 10 days or whatever the period is in February when it's passed. So it is presumptively valid, not having been judicially challenged. We do have the county attorney's opinions, however, and my only suggestion was, by putting this on the table, if there is the will to do so among the legislature, and there are specific points that could be refined in the existing policy or in the newly proposed policy, because frankly they cover the same subject matter, just in the signs instead of PSAs, in addition to PSAs. That opportunity exists now if that's the will of the body. Otherwise, we have an existing policy, and it's until it's overturned, I think it has to be followed.
Well, the question is, was the bill prior to the February or after February?
Well,
we have
two issues, unfortunately, Mr. Chairman. That is, number one, apparently maybe we've moved past the nullification crisis and John C. Calhoun's been defeated. But that said, my question is, I guess, through the chair to Minority Counsel, in terms of, this is still, in your opinion, a valid policy of this legislature, and it needs to be complied with, correct? By all entities of this county.
Yes.
Now, whether or not, I think the secondary question becomes whether or not this particular item was, in fact, in compliance with that policy, right? That becomes the second question, correct?
Which item are you referring to?
I'm saying that the bill that we're debating over here, or that's being held up by the Comptroller's Office with regards to these pamphlets, whether or not these pamphlets are in compliance with that law. So have you guys discussed that?
I have an opinion if you want to ask me.
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
Okay. Number one, I certainly respect the county attorney's opinion. I do respectfully disagree. I think it is unambiguous. I think it's clear. I think it makes sense to a reasonable degree of certainty and to a reasonable person. And I also think that the pamphlet falls squarely within what we were regulating or what we were designing the policy to cover. So the answer, in my view, is yes.
Joe?
So I sponsored the legislation, and I appreciate everybody's opinion. I certainly appreciate Mr. Bergucci's, and I think it does. I think he's exactly right. I think this hits. It's definitely a public service announcement by our own definition. We went through this a couple of years ago on the Ulster County bus advertising policy. It certainly is a PSA, and in our bill here, in our policy, it certainly says be named or otherwise be identified. So, look, we have a local business out there that's not being paid, and they acted in good faith. So I'm going to be very reasonable about this and say they should be paid, but we have to have this discussion right now, and I have to hear that we're going to follow policy. We set a policy. It was a supermajority. And for the exec to go and not follow it and then have the county attorney, which I know is appointed by the executive and works at his pleasure, but to come out and spend county resources writing this opinion, which anyone legally that I've talked to was kind when they said it was a stretch. How many hours were spent on this opinion? Did you do it yourself, Mr.
Yes, I did.
How many hours did you spend on that?
Ooh. I have to venture a guess.
If you,
I'd probably say this is between writing it and researching it and going through the various paperwork is probably a, I would guess probably 4 to 5 hours.
4 to 5 hours.
I would think at least.
And do you think that is a safe place to be as far as having an existing policy and then defending, violating it retroactively? Or do you think you probably should have followed the policy and then questioned it in court before violating it? I mean, we set a policy.
Well, let me say something. First of all, I will agree with what legislative counsel said. It hasn't been challenged in court, so it's not invalid, so to speak. What my opinion says is, if this were to be challenged in court, there's a great likelihood it's going to be void. It's vague. The best evidence that it's vague, you already had two separately elected officials differ on what the policy means. So,
and how so?
You have...
Hold on. Before we get involved, I mean, this is not
because
a court.
Because
you're
right,
you want
to hear
me. All right, hold on. But we're not going to settle anything. I mean, you're going to go back and forth about what his view is, my view, whoever the case may be.
That's how we
learn. The question becomes, like Joe mentioned, we have a business out there who is being hurt by the legislative branch and the executive branch. And that's the issue that I would like to, you know, resolve if possibly right now, a business in Ulster County that's not taking a hit because of the bickering between the executive branch and the legislative branch.
Hold on one second.
Okay. But the thing is, you mentioned that you would like to see them get paid, if I heard you correctly before 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, but not before finishing the conversation.
But the thing is, you wanted to ask the executive... I think you wanted to ask the executive that they would not do it again.
Absolutely.
Okay, that was part of. I think that was part of what you're after them to say that they won't do it again. Correct.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like them to commit in order to pay this bill?
Are these going to get distributed too?
Well, they've probably have they been distributed?
I can't answer. I don't know.
I mean, that's fine. But look, it's just. Where are we at here? And what is this all about? No, hold on, Rich. Let me finish
for a second. I understand, but the thing is...
This is about the executive,
it's about executive
insisting on putting his
Hector,
name...
Hector.
Let him finish.
I will let him finish. You don't have to interject, okay? But the thing is, we have a business here who's taking a punishment that it should not be taking the punishment, all right? So, Joe, you want to continue what you want to say?
Sure.
By all
and
means.
We'll get to that. I mean, it'll take 2 seconds for us all to agree to kind of look the other way and get this business paid. I think we're all going to do that. But in the meantime, I don't want to sweep this under the rug because there's too many things at play here.
And we're
we
not
have a county
that.
Attorney that's writing opinions. And what is this all about at its core? This is about the executive wanting to put his name on taxpayer-funded handouts and signs. And we set a policy, supermajority, and a couple of months later, they comply with the billboards and the radio ads. A couple months later, this blatant PSA blatantly gets sent out. And we're being kind when we talk about this opinion from the county attorney. But in there, they're saying that it's not really a PSA. They're saying he can put his name in print on things. I mean, right here, I'll read it to you. Or be in likeness, picture, voice, be named, or otherwise be identified or referenced. He wrote an opinion saying that doesn't cover his name in print. That's insanity. I mean, it really is.
If you meant print, why doesn't it say print there? If you meant publication, why doesn't it say publication?
Do you know how many adjectives there are? Do you know how many adjectives there are in the English language? Let's put every pamphlet, brochure. Let's just put.
If you're trying to prohibit something, you need to be clear.
Any reasonable,
Joe.
We don't have to rule law if we're going to argue these.
Joe, we're not going to argue law here because that's not our function. Our function is, what would you like the county attorney or the county executive that we could pay this bill, what one thing would about sure. not doing it again, correct?
Sure.
What would be another thing that you would like?
Yeah.
I'll
say it, but let's just be honest here. I feel like I'm talking to my 12-year-old son here. Joey, you can't do this again. Promise me you won't do this again. We'll move on from here. But, I mean, come on. This is a policy. This is the Ulster County government, and we had a sitting policy that got swept aside, and when pointed out, what did we do? We spent more county resources to come up with some bizarre spiel about this. It's not proper. What's next? I know a couple of months ago we violated our own nepotism policy. Now we're violating this policy. Are we going to demand respect, legislative respect here? We're the policymakers. We are told on a daily basis not to step on operations, and we don't. We don't go anywhere near it, to a point of absurdity at times. And I'm talking. And now we have the county attorney, who I'll point out again, is appointed by, claims litigation. That's what your job is. Contracts, agreements, and leases. Juvenile prosecution and family court. Labor matters and opinions and legal research. So I know there's opinions and legal research, but I don't think that that's what the charter had in mind. Violating policy and then coming up with some, you know, stretch.
The charter's pretty clear. I'm the sole legal advisor for the county.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. I'm aware. For the county. Not for the executive.
And that's a good
and justifying
point. And
violating
that's a, good point.
A policy to put his name on a taxpayer-funded...
I don't represent just the executive.
You'll understand
you
why
too.
We make the mistake when we get opinions like this. Because it sure as heck
that
seems
opinion
like
applies to you too.
You just represent the executive.
That opinion applies to you too.
I was told by a former county attorney the other day that she was asked to backdate something. And when she wouldn't, and they pushed her, they told her it was for Mike...
I can't speak
to anybody
else
have
but comment myself.
We got a problem. No, we have a problem here with the attorneys and what's going on in this county.
Right, Joe, hold on.
Oh, come on. We all know.
Chairman
Joe,
Giantini,
hold on.
I could interject
hold on.
One
we
second.
All know what's going
My hand's
on.
Been
here.
Up for five minutes.
Mark, I understand that, Mark, and you'll get your chance to talk when I acknowledge you to talk. Kathy, her hand's up first. Mark, I'm sorry.
I just want to say that I think this research should have been done on this bill before we passed it. We would have found that it was not in conformity with public officers' law, and we would have had a law that was not open to this kind of challenge. And I'll just stop there. I appreciate that there is an attempt to do something good with this legislation, but I felt it was vague and it was open to misinterpretation at the time. I think the legislature needs the county attorney's memo to go back and correct the mistake we made in passing this legislation.
And what was that mistake?
It was...
Joe. I will ask the questions, all right? And I will ask the people to talk, all right? Mark?
With all due respect to the sponsor, I think that there's many people in the legislative branch, in the executive branch, who did not interpret this law to encompass flyers, pamphlets. And for example... The comptroller's office sends out a what to do if you're audited pamphlet to every department that's audited, has Elliot Auerbach's name on it. There's flyers in this county office building for parking spot giveaways that have other elected officials' names on them. So to the idea that a flyer or a pamphlet was that we knew that, and this is why Mark spoke to the vagueness of this policy. Because it is vague, and I question whether it would have been vetoed had the county exec understood that this applied to pamphlets, flyers, etc.
Evan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the county attorney's stance that these resolutions require 100% certainty. We strongly disagree that this should be devoid of vagueness, in conflict with state law, and that we should be paying. I agree with legislative counsel that any imperfections could be addressed as far as definitional, but our interpretation of this resolution was solely an ordinary person or a reasonable person standard, going by the plain meaning of the resolution itself, as well as legislative intent. And when the words are used as far as being named, promoting county services by any method of transmission and with public funds, we have no other choice but to clearly deny the invoice from being paid at that point as a violation of county policy.
You're also no longer disseminating those pamphlets on what to expect when you're being audited, and we haven't been since.
I should add that those pamphlets were essentially grandfathered in by this because they were purchased well before this resolution went into effect.
They're decimated online, electronically.
Mark.
All right.
Lynn and then Tracy.
Is this a brochure that goes to employees, or is this a brochure that's going out to the public?
It's on the RAC card, so it's
goes
in.
Out to the public.
Okay, so, and then the intent was, let's not use public funds for that.
Right. David and Tracy.
Well, the problem here lies in that this law was passed, and I don't think that it was vague, because I had it run by a couple of attorneys that I played off with. I said, take a look at it. And they said it's pretty clear enough to say that it's anybody's. And as you pointed out, you use the average schmo on the street, what's he going to say, and that's what he's going to say. Now, the executive ad is by at the Apple well once it was passed. We understood what it was, and I don't think anybody was vague about it on this legislature that was, at any point. I certainly wasn't vague about it. I knew basically what it was. And as I said, he had this chance at the bite of the apple when it went before him. He chose not to take that. Now, this opinion put out by Mr. Longto seems to say that the prior county attorney wasn't doing their job, if that's what that says. And I don't agree that the prior county attorney wasn't doing her job. I think she was doing her job. And that's basically what this is saying. His opinion more or less saying, well, he wasn't doing the job. Well, he should have, basically, she should have told him to veto it then, according to what you're pointing out. So my mindset is, they were wrong. And I think the best thing for them to do is say, yeah, we were wrong. Could you please pay the bill? We won't do it again. But they haven't done that. Instead, they spent a countless amount of time justifying that wrong. And that, that doesn't get us anywhere. It just gets us into something like this that we didn't need to get into.
Tracy?
Well, I hope that this doesn't have to go to something like court to be litigated. But I do think if we were in court and we were having a discussion about intent, we have an established record as to the legislative intent. We had debate, recorded debate. We had discussions. And that, I think, would all go to counter the argument of vagueness. But the other thing that your memo brought up for me, Mr. Ryder, is the reference to 73B in public officer's law, which I wasn't well-versed in, and I'm still not well-versed in, but before you bringing it up, when I read this section itself seems to read to me as if to prohibit the use of the name in advertisement, because it says, notwithstanding any other provision of the law to the contrary, no elected local official shall knowingly appear in any advertisement or promotion, including public service and community service announcements, published or broadcast through any print or electronic media. I mean, that to me would include a RAC card. So I'm confused. This has totally upended this whole argument for me as to wondering whether or not we weren't even preempted to already have this in place by a state law. I was not aware of this before, and I'm not following your argument to the contrary in this law. So I would like to delve a little deeper into understanding 73B. I would like the help of legislative counsel on that.
We have a public hearing at 6:05. We're going to hold this, carry this over till the public hearing, because I would like to go to the public and do not like them to wait, and come back and continue this conversation. So
we only have a few more minutes. Can Hector just?
No, because there's three other people I want to talk to.
And we still have a resolution.
We still have other resolutions. So to be fair to the public out there, we're going to adjourn this meeting.
Tickets to a Broadway show.
After the public hearing.
Fresco spot. I was away. I'm not going to deliver your memo until today. And I'm serious. That 73B, it really reads to me as if it was prohibited all along. So I'm going to have to really understand both your arguments.
I can give you a clear, and it does seem clear. And this is the reason why.
Hey, Ways and Means. changed. Hold on. Let's make a motion to adjourn to after the public hearings and come back. So make a motion, please.
I'll make that motion.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right.
I have a town meeting at 7:00.
I don't know how long public meeting. What's the public hearing?